Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016, 8 a.m. I'm coming to you from North Central West Virginia, and this is Truth in the Word, in God's Word Radio. We'll talk today about a subject of much importance, sometimes controversial, but the very meaning of it, the very application of it, it's grace. The grace of God. Grace defined biblically, I would say, is unearned, unmerited favor, a free gift from God provided strictly by the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. Grace is what we live by. It's something we cannot purchase, cannot buy. Bible declares there was a sorcerer, I believe in the book of Acts, named Simon, who wanted to purchase the power and the spirit of Almighty God, which cannot be purchased by money or by monetary means. But I want to give you a scripture before we get into it. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty," which is, of course, grace. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Just to get it straight before we begin, the grace is not a license to sin. God still hates sin. The Bible declares the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we begin in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, with a character here. He was by no means fictional. He was real in every sense of the word. His name was Zerubbabel, and he was facing a task that there was much opposition to. Whenever the gospel, the truth, is to be preached, then you can count on there being much opposition from the powers of darkness. And they use any means, any leverage, any weapon that they can to tear down, to destroy, to hinder, to block, whatever you want to call it, what God wants to do. And that hasn't changed since the time of Zerubbabel. The powers of darkness are still poised against the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They by no means want it preached. They by means they don't want it taught, and they certainly don't want it to take root in people's hearts. So the Spirit of God spoke through Zechariah to this man named Zerubbabel in Zerubbabel 4:6 and said, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 4:7 goes on to say, as the Lord continues to speak through Zechariah to Zerubbabel, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" This is a question. "O great mountain, that which stands in the way of the progress." The progress was Zerubbabel building the temple after the return of the Israelites to Jerusalem, to Israel. After the 70 years of prophesied captivity for adultery, for going back on God, for idol worship, for many, many things. But God was restoring again the people, and he's restoring the temple, and he was restoring the sacrificial system for that time and for that dispensation. But it says, O great mountain before Zerubbabel, who art thou? The Lord asks a question, who art thou? In other words, you know, do you dare challenge me because I made the mountain, so I can certainly remove the mountain. And he declares that this mountain shall become a plain or a flat area by which will be the resistance of what God wants to do will be leveled out. It'll be taken out of the way. And he shall bring forth the headstone, therefore with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. In other words, Zerubbabel was to the end of himself. He had no other recourse but to believe God and what thus saith the Lord. And God said, it will be done, but it will be done by grace. Zerubbabel was the head of the tribe of Judah at that particular time, during the time of the return of the exiles from Babylon. He was the upstart, the head, and the prime builder of the second temple, which was later reconstructed by King Herod. He led the first group of captives back to Jerusalem and began rebuilding the temple. Now let's go here for a second. The destruction of Jerusalem was just phenomenal, so to speak. It was mind-boggling what the Lord had allowed to happen because of disregard for his commandments, because of disregard for his laws, because they took up other gods. They followed after other gods. They became an adulterous, spiritually adulterous generation. He began to rebuild the temple on the old site where it was before. For some 20 years, he was closely associated with prophets and priests and kings until the new temple was dedicated and the Jewish sacrificial system was reestablished. But this was done by grace and grace only. We are saved by grace. It mentions in that Zechariah 4:7 that a headstone. Now, the headstone refers to the chief or the top stone or the crowning stone of a building. It was a custom in that day and age for the magistrate, the chief magistrate, to lay the foundation and also the chief top stone of the wall. Now, the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. The magistrate represents authority. Jesus represents authority in the church. There would be, the church would not exist, was not for the sacrificial work that Jesus done on the cross, which provided our grace. In the book of Ezra 3:10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord at the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So the foundation was laid and the chief cornerstone was laid by grace and the shoutings of grace, grace. So we live under grace today. The application of grace is very important in our lives. It's coming to the end of ourselves. That there's nothing we can do. We have no righteousness to offer the Lord because the Bible declares that our righteousness is but filthy rags. Paul was faced with this, a situation in 2 Corinthians 12 where he had sought God three times, Word of God says, to take away a thorn in his flesh, something that bothered him. Now, there's been much speculation on what this was. Some say it was these eyes, some say it was this or that, but the Bible declares that it was a messenger from Satan that come to buffet him. And Paul goes on to explain it was because of the revelation that was given unto this man, unless, I guess, he become big-headed to keep his pride under control. Does God do that? Well, he did it here. So he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because, see, the thing is, many people have been used by God, and then they just go off on a tangent and forget where they receive the anointing or the power or the grace to do what they do. But he questioned God, and God spoke to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, as Paul sought God three times to take this thorn in his flesh away. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, God speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Spirit of God, which is the breach repairer. So we cry grace, grace to our situations. We cry grace, grace to our mountains. It's not that we're spiritual giants, but the one that we serve is a spiritual giant, the authority, and the finisher of our faith. Paul, he settled for this because he said, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, the humility of Paul, willing to allow God to do what he needs to do, that the work of God might be accomplished. God's grace is a never-ending thing. In the book of Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, not merited, lest any man should boast and claim that he had saved himself or was so good that God just accepted him. The Bible declares there's none good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Well, two reasons. For we are not under the law, but we are under grace. See, the demands of the law was too much for man. The demands of the law was given by the holiness of God. The good finger of God wrote the law, and it's impossible for man to keep God's law outside of the grace and the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but we are under grace. So there again, that states that God does not want sin to have dominion over us, and grace does not give us a license to sin. Premeditated sin is sin. If you get up in the morning and choose to do something with an attitude, I'm going to do it, and then ask God later, you are consciously premeditating sin. And the Bible declares, if we do this, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. You crucify the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, again, the Word of God says. So Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Just cipher that out. But what it's saying is that we do not operate by works. Yes, we have spiritual disciplines. We fast, we pray, we read the Word of God, and all very necessary. But we do all these things with our eyes fixed on the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which all power flows from. He says, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And that power, of course, is the Holy Ghost, given strictly by grace. We don't write a check for it. We don't run around the barn three times. We don't do anything except believe God. In James 4:6, but he giveth no more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. There, pride comes into play, that we cannot have a grace and operate in pride. Who does he give grace to? The humble. What's the Word of God says? The psalmist David said, the only spirit that God will look at is a broken and a contrite spirit. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Unmerited, unearned, once again provided by the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God," Paul says, "I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The motivation was grace. Now listen, Paul was going down a wrong path. He was on the road to Damascus to imprison and kill more Christians. He just left the stoning of Stephen. The Word of God declares he had held the coats of those that stoned this man of God who preached a very stirring message to the point that they gnashed on him with their teeth. And of course they stoned him. But he says, "By grace I am what I am." They're giving every bit of praise and honor to God because God by grace, Jesus Christ by grace, knocked Paul off his horse and stopped him in his tracks. That was grace. That was grace. Abraham was sitting in a city, in an area, territory, and he was surrounded by pagans. The Bible declared his family was pagan to the point that they actually made the idol gods that people kept in their windows or whoever it might have been. And God called him out of Ur, the Bible says. God found Abraham. Was Abraham seeking God? No, this is the truth today. No. He was not seeking God. God found him. Moses, after leaving Egypt because he murdered an Egyptian, spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, was tending sheep one day, and a burning bush showed up. Once again, God found Moses. God found him. Was Moses looking for God? He was an exile. He was a fugitive. And God found him by grace. And Paul says, "I am what I am because of his grace." He says, and then I labored more abundantly, but he says, "I did it through grace." He told the Galatian church, "Foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you have begun in the Spirit or begun in the grace of God and ended up trying to do stuff in the flesh." We can't do that. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is grace. We weren't even conceived. From the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was crucified. This is grace. Grace is for every man that will receive it, that will accept it. It's the only means by which we can receive the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way we're going to make it through this world and into the eternal world that is coming is grace of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:16 talks about, "Let us therefore come boldly," why? "Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In other words, when we're in trouble, when we're weighed down, when we're going through situations that we don't know what to do, let us come boldly. Why? Because we've got a card in our pocket, and today everybody scans everything. We just scan something and go into the Holy of Holies. No, no, no. We have grace. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's applied to our life, then we have entrance. The Bible says the veil was ripped from top to bottom, giving us grace, giving us access to boldly to come before the throne of God, bringing our petitions before an almighty God, and God will hear them because of the blood of Jesus, because we live by grace. Nothing that we do. Remember I said Simon tried to buy it. You can't purchase it. John 1:16 says, "And his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." There's that double grace again. Double for your trouble, so to speak. Grace for grace. What did he say? Cry, what he tells you, cry, grace, grace. Under that mountain, Zerubbabel, it looks big, but my grace, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, and of his fullness, and his fullness, have all we received, and grace for grace. Romans 3:20-24, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and what he did on the cross. Don't live by the law. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance by grace. Romans 3:24, then being justified freely by his grace. I think I read that up above. I'll read it again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is Paul exhorting Timothy to be strong in the grace. This is our strength today. Is taking on another power, a power that we are not the source of. 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen, the word of God says. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and shall not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When we wait on his grace, strength comes to us. The song says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and his grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word by hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as my life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil the life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will forever be mine. John Newton wrote that, an ex-slave trader. God dealt with him. He said, that can save a wretch like me, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved you and me today. And in the eyes of God, we were wretches, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you want this grace today, if you're going through something in your life today and you don't have an answer, shout grace to it. He told Zerubbabel, look at that mountain, Zerubbabel, shout grace to it. Grace, grace. He said, it'll be like a plane, not by our power, not by our might, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Not by armies, not by entities on the face, not by organizations, religious or otherwise, but by grace. Grace, grace. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. By his stripes you are healed, by his grace. And by his grace he was chastised for our peace of mind. It was finished 2,000 years ago on the cross. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We are justified by faith and the grace of an almighty God. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. I ask you to lift anyone up today that hears this, Father. I ask you, Lord, that the light would come on their soul, that your grace is sufficient. As Paul said, that the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient. And it is, Lord. It is. Because it's your word, and your word will never pass away. We believe that today. Doesn't matter about our circumstances. Doesn't matter about our problem. Doesn't matter how we feel or what's going on around about us or what we see. Your grace, as John Newton read, will always carry us home and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace is for us. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Just reach out today by faith and receive it. Until next time, God bless.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one.